Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 222, part 1, Poverty. Today is Friday, November 25th, 2011.
I'd like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.
Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostess, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's club is located in Disciples Ministries, historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, you can come to Pastor Paul's Club Monday through Friday between 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. Bring a picture ID, a current piece of mail with your address, verify your household members with either medical cards or social security cards. Come between 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. Bring extra bags to carry other food that's available, and that food is generally produce, dairy products, baked goods, and some canned goods. If you want to purchase extra food from Pastor Paul, bring dollar bills. Do not bring anything larger than a 5. If you need more information about Pastor Paul's club and how to register your household for monthly groceries, directions to Pastor Paul's, call 612-521-4665, prompt 1. Now, this is the month of November, my favorite month. Well, every month is a good month for me. But I love Thanksgiving. I love turkey dressing, mashed potatoes and gravy, homemade cranberries, sweet potatoes, green beans, you know, just all the traditional Thanksgiving foods. Gotta have it, gotta have it. Did I mention scalloped corn? I can hardly wait. So, there again, if you need food, come on to Pastor Paul's. We've got lots of food as well. The month of November, our transitional month, we go from a nice summer to cold winter, Thanksgiving, holidays around the corner, all kinds of things happening. Well, here's what's happening on the podcast. Jot these down. The messages, divine thoughts, the scent sends, the invisible people, poverty. This is going to be a good month. Be back here every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. And if you're not here, you're not all there. Is that how it goes? Thanks for coming to the podcast. I love the podcast. I am so thankful for this podcast. And I hope you are. Have a great month. God bless you.
And today's message is entitled, Poverty. Before we enter into 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. And of course, that scripture has been misused, see, because everybody's waiting to get rich with coin. But before we start here, let's go back to David in the Psalms 69 and 29. It says, but I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. Have you ever felt that way? But I am poor and sorrowful. And here we see the psalmist was afflicted very much, but his faith was in God. I mean, I'm having a hard time. I am poor in spirit, beggarly poor, a contrite heart. I'm so low, I'm so down. I am afflicted very much. But see, he's calling out to the Lord. See, the poor in spirit and the mourners are both blessed under the gospel. And so here is a reason for the Lord to smile upon his suppliant, you and me. This is his reason. Here we're looking at someone that was never ever more poor than our Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty. Looking at someone that was so sorrowful, so grievously sorrowful. No one else. Coming from the highest position to the very lowest position. The world even says that. How low can you go? And yet, his cry was heard out of the depths. It was heard. And the Bible says he was lifted, and we know that he was lifted and lifted up into the very highest glory. Let thy salvation, O God, set me on high. Save me out of this, maybe someone on the radio was saying. I've got myself in a real mess. I've got myself in a real pickle. Save me out of this. Oh, I'm so sorry I got into this thing. Let thy salvation, O God, set me on high. So we have to remember the Lord, don't we? We have to cry out like the psalmist, like Jesus. Anyway, how fully this has been answered in the case of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let thy salvation, O God, set me on high. See, because he not only escaped his foes personally, and you're all going to have foes. Beware when all men will speak well of you, the Bible says. Well, the only time they will speak well of you, all of them, most of them, is when you die. Oh, he wasn't such a bad guy, you know. He had his quirks, but for the most part, he was a pretty decent fellow. Yeah, no one has anything to say against the dead. It's only when you're living they give you a hard time. When you die, then they feel partly responsible. Maybe they might have caused an early death or something, which is the case a lot of times. Well, as mean as he wasn't such a bad old guy. He had his quirks. We all do, don't we? Where would you like to go eat? That's the end of you. But here he has escaped his foes not only personally, but he has become the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. He is remembered. As often as you do this in remembrance of me, do it in remembrance of me. He's remembered. Why? Because he offered salvation. He offered a way out of this mess. Now, I'm not saying you have to die to get out of a mess. I'm saying you're in a mess and you have to receive Jesus as your personal Savior, and then you're saved out of a mess. And even though after you're saved you're in a mess, you're blessed in a mess. Because your eyes isn't on that mess anymore, it's on the messes of others. Get your mind off of your own mess. And I use that word because people are always calling me saying, boy, am I ever in a mess. Well, what do you mean? Is your house a mess? Or is your car a mess? Or is your life a mess? What do you mean you're in a mess? Do you have Jesus as your personal Savior? Yes. Well, then let him bless you in your mess. And there's so many people that are so down, they're in a mess. How do I get myself into this mess? How do I get out of this mess? Oh God, I call on thee. When we do that, when we come to know the Lord, and it goes on and on and on since he departed, doesn't it continue to glorify him more and more and more? You know how much you can glorify God when you're in a mess and you're just blessed in that mess to go out and help someone else? And so, oh, you poor and sorrowful ones, lift up your heads. For as it was with your Lord, so shall it always be with you. Maybe you're down today. Maybe you're down in the mire and the muck. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you're looking for a way out of all this. Maybe you say, well, if I could only leave that job, if I could only patch things up, if I could only do this, and you never take the first step out of the mess. Well, don't worry about it, for soon you'll be riding on high. And even now, you are raised up, the Bible says, together, to made to be sit together with him in the high and heavenly places. Says we are hidden in Christ and God. We are hidden in high and heavenly places. But are you willing to follow Jesus? Well, you follow Jesus and you get out of your mess. Well, I don't know if I like this message or not. Well, it has nothing to do with it. I'm just trying to show you how to get out of your mess. You're listening on the radio. Are you willing to follow Jesus? Are you willing to become poor? Are you willing, go a step further, are you willing to become a poor servant? A poor good servant. A poor good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. To become, let's go a little further, to become a poor obedient servant, even further, an obedient servant even unto death. Are you willing to serve all the way even unto death? Well, then you have nothing to worry about. Are you willing to? I didn't say you were going to have to. Are you willing to? See, God knows where you're willing, what you're willing to do. Some of us are willing to sit in our mess. Even babies know better. They don't sit in their mess. They cry. Have somebody come change them, see? But it seems like we get so puffed up that we sit in our mess and we leave them dirty diapers on. And we just sit in our mess. Now, I don't want anybody to know about this. I'm in a mess. I want nobody to... Oh, man, would it be a mess if they found that out? And so you sit in your own mess. You don't want to share your mess with anybody else. So many of you out there are in messes right now. And you continue on sitting in your dirty diaper mess. Well, you're going to end up mighty sore sitting in that mess. Cranky and mean. People aren't going to want to be around you because you're just sitting in your mess, bawling your eyes out. Well, how do you get out? You call upon the Lord. Lord, take me out of this mess. Well, are you willing to get out of that mess? Well, if you're willing to, you might have to humble yourself. Say, I have dirty diapers. I'm talking spiritually now. I want out of this mess. Isn't that the call, and isn't that the key to becoming Christ-like? To be willing to suffer? Well, then I'll just sit in my mess. No, I'm not talking about that. Talking about giving your life over to help somebody else out of a mess. First, you have to get out of your own mess. Can the blind lead the blind? Can the messed up lead the messed? Are you willing to suffer? No, I don't know. Gee, I'm suffering enough already. But see, you're suffering for the wrong cause. If you suffer for yourself, where is the suffering? That's selfishness. Are you willing to suffer? Are you willing to suffer? And it's coming. Hey. The meeting I was at, and there was a few heads of state there and a few people in high places last week on the panel that I was on. And I saw an opportunity to minister the gospel. I got to minister gospel 4 times in 15 minutes. And then when the questions came, I got another 15 minutes. And when I first started, I thought, ooh, man, this is kind of a mess. Do you think God can bless you right there? He did. Are you willing to suffer persecution? Are you willing to suffer being laughed at or the misunderstanding of people or be slandered or despised of men? Hated in the house of your friends, jeered at. See, a good leader a lot of times, most times, you stand alone. Do you hear in those leaders out there? Now you're looking for somebody to stand with you, aren't you? Well, there will be no one to stand with you. God will make sure of that. If you stand and you're going to be a leader, you're going to stand all alone. I mean, in certain situations, it gets mighty spooky because you don't know who's going to cut and run. Now, hearing it? And then praise God when certain ones do. Hallelujah! Oh. But there's a time when it makes you kind of want to tremble. God says, you're going to stand, and you're going to stand all alone. You're going to get to the point of thinking all is well, and you're going to be safe and secure, and all of a sudden, when the smoke clears, you look out into what you've built up, all of a sudden it's gone. And God says, you want to be a leader in the end times? Well, then you're going to stand, and you stand all alone. I stand alone because to tell you the truth, I would rather. Huh? All the people they scatter, I stand alone. Now, how do you stand, preacher? By the grace of God. Then with the few, the measured out 12, and the 480 some have left. Now you pick it up. Now you bear your cross. Now you go through, and from a hill far away, looking through binoculars, powerful ones, telescopes. The 11 possibly, preacher, listen to me, end time ministry, listen, will peer in on a scene that'll set them into action. It'll set them to running. Fear will grab people's hearts in the end time. Total gut fear. You ever been feared so your gut freezes up? Servicemen know. Till you can't move and you're immobile? That's the kind of fear that's on planet Earth right now. The fear of rejection. The fear of not having man's love and man's respect. How many are hearing this? Well, see, radio audience, you need to hear this because in the end, that's the way it's going to be. There's a separation coming between the sheep and the goats. My God, I want to say this. I want to have the grace of God keep me so I don't freeze up and freak out and give up and say, I want out. Oh, God, help me out of this mess. Sometimes people wear rubber pants so people can't smell their mess. They cover up. A little rot right off your body. See, it's a time right now to stand, having done all, stand. And that means a lot of times, leaders, that you're going to stand all alone. Well, doesn't anybody like me anymore? They're mean to me. It was designed that way. To check you and test you out. To see if you would stand. And so praise God, leaders, if you have a precious few that are willing to stand, having done all, stand. Are you better than the author of your salvation? No. Bible says, receive your cross. Pick it up. No, then you receive. Let's see. I'll take this cross over here. The styrofoam. It's light. Yeah, that one with the little bouquet of flowers there and that little wreath, little leafy, silken leaf wreath. So I won't have to water to do anything with it. Huh? And scotch tape me to it. Put a little seat on there so I don't have to hang. Put a seat belt on it. How are you going to commend your spirit unto God? No. Pick up your cross. And then pick up your cross and then bear your cross. And that's a bear sometimes, isn't it? I believe right now we're living in an age that has become unpopular to be lowly. Even in the Christian circles, to become poor and to become lowly means our confession is off. Well, why don't you just confession yourself right out of that thing? Confession out. The Laodiceans tried to confession it out. We are rich and increased in goods and have needs of nothing. Jesus said, you are miserable and wretched and poor. You're always running off to fun land. You got problems right down there, right down here in River City, and you're running off to China and Africa and wherever. And there's so many running all over the world right now, running off to here and there and everywhere. And they're running off with their own mess. They got dirty diapers. They're running off with dirty diapers to go see if they can help someone else out. Half the people that go to them countries end up with some kind of diarrhea or a trench mouth or something, and the whole 2 weeks they're of no use at all. They go over there with dirty diapers, and then they come back with even more sickness. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich." Now, how are you rich? You're made that way. What is rich? What is rich? Rich is the absence of pain. Rich is lifting your arms up and there's no pain in your arms. I remember for a year and a half, I had such pain in my arms. I go to put my coat on. Oh, God. Rich is not having a cast on that I wore, braces from here down, all the way down into here for a couple of years until I was healed. Rich is able to do a somersault up here, which maybe I might do someday. That would be fun to do, wouldn't it? Give some people something to talk about. Keep them busy. See, preacher, when they're picking on you, they're not picking on someone else. So actually, in a way, you're kind of a little savior, saving people from things. Yeah. "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich." Now, he owned everything. "Yet for your sakes," now listen to this, "your sakes, he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." I said Friday night, you don't have an earache, do you? That's rich. You're able to walk and talk. That's rich. You're not in an iron lung someplace. You're not in prison. Boy, you feel poor when you're in prison. All wearing the same suits. Same boondockers. Now, servicemen will know what I'm talking about. Boondockers. The same corny shoes. The same plate, the same table, and a little cell with a toilet and a sink. That's poor. Where everybody can see you as you go about your business. That's poor. Now, you're not in prison. You can leave here today and you can walk out that door. My God, that's wonderful. Take it from me, folks. To not be in prison is wonderful. To walk out that door and be free. For me not to be in the service, I'm free. For me not have to go up to get my pay and say, "Sergeant Paul S. Arnopoulos, blah, 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 2780-3414, reporting for pay." I'm rich. I don't have to do that anymore. I had more money when I was in the service. But I'm rich. I'm not confined. I'm rich. I have the gospel. I have Christ. I have it all. I own the U.S. Army and the Navy and the Marines and all of it. But I don't have to take care of it. Uncle Sam does it. Thank you, Uncle. Say uncle, he used to say. All that you can see all over and all that's above, I am a joint heir with Christ. I own it all, but I don't want to have the upkeep of it quite yet. And so here we have Paul trying to stir up the Corinthians to liberality, to giving. He wanted them to give to the poor of the flock. He wanted them to minister to their necessary needs. He tells them that the churches of Macedonia, though they were very, very poor, Much poorer, of course, than the church at Corinth. And we're having the same situation right down here. Are you hearing this? Are you hearing this out in the suburbs? That the church had gone beyond its means. And down here, all the time, we go beyond our means. In the way of giving. You know that old worldly song, so many bottles on the wall, tra-la, so many bottles on the wall. I sing another song, $30,000 in the hole, tra-la, $30,000 in the hole. If only someone would give me $1,000, I'd only be $29,000 in the hole per month, tra-la. $29,000 in the hole, tra-la. $29,000 in the hole. Oh, if someone out there would only give me $1,000, I'd only be $28,000 in the hole, tra-la. No, he tried to stir him up to bring relief to the needy. You don't see a lot of that nowadays. Oh, I'm not asking for money. I'm asking for compassion out there. I mean, golly, I know places, churches right now, they have millions of dollars in the bank. They don't know what to do with it all. Well, what should we do with it? Well, write me a card and ask me that question. Call me on the phone. Send a telegram. I don't care how you ask me. Just ask me and I'll give you an answer. But he exhorts all the Corinthians to go ahead and do the same thing. You see this poor north side, this Macedonian type of church. Let me exhort you. Let me get to you somehow. That you too can give. You can give. Well, give until it hurts. Sometimes it just hurts people. They get arthritic when they go to reach for their billfold. Oh, I can't reach that far. Well, then have front loaders. But suddenly he starts to realize, and I realized the same thing early in my ministry. I went to all the different churches all over. I said, you know what, we got teenage problems and we got young people that are into prostitution, boys and girls, and they're coming from all over, and we have things out here, even out here in Brooklyn Park, we got gangs and things like that going on, of prostitution and so on like this. I said, we really need to address this problem. And the Lord spoke to me, he says, don't look to the churches for help. Go out. You know what? I never listened. I've been steady going to the churches ever since he told me that. I remember it every time I go out because nothing comes in. But suddenly he realizes that. He says, hey, they're not even hearing me. And they asked me that question down there in this panel. They said, well, we can hear and we can see. I says, no, Jesus says you have eyes and you can't see and you have ears and you can't hear. And he says that we see and we do hear and we do testify. But see, you can't testify about something you don't know nothing about. You can't testify off of someone's homemade graph. I could make one of those on a computer. What good are they? So many are starving here and so many are starving there and so many are starving here. What a good summation of people that are starving. But how about how much groceries is it going to take to feed those people? How about going a step further? Well, what are your needs? What do you think right now is the need of the people that you see? I said, soap and water. Towels. See, that's too simple. Let's spend $8 million and work on a problem that we have right now until that problem is obsolete down the road. See, things are moving so fast right now that what's a problem, if you don't deal with it right now, it becomes obsolete. It's like someone has a bullet in their head and you don't deal with that, then they're obsolete. They die. In the process, the due process of the law, or the due process of social functions. And they weren't hearing Paul either. I mean, he says like this, if I take an example from inferiors, the Corinthians, the metropolitanites, the suburbanites, it will have no effect whatsoever on these hardened hearts. None whatsoever. And so he goes on and he goes higher. And he goes to the highest source, and here it is, and no one can argue with this. My brethren, said he, there is one above by whom you hope you have been saved. One whom you call Master and Lord. Now, if you will but imitate him, you cannot be ungenerous or illiberal. For, he goes on, for, my brethren, I tell you a thing which is an old thing with you and an undisputed truth. You cannot argue with this truth, he says. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Let us constrain you to benevolence. And so Paul uses Jesus Christ as an example. You can't use someone or some organization as an example. God can use them. Well, you see, people won't listen. They're not interested. We get into the competition. And in our world, we think the competition will take care of everything. Not necessarily so. Advertisement will take care of everything. The one that's got the most money to advertise, the worst junk, is the dollar. See, bottom line, it's the dollar. Bottom line, it's who's on top that counts. Not who has the best machine or whatever. Are you hearing this? So we have to use, and he had to use, a better and a higher influence, a better example, something they would understand and couldn't argue with and couldn't compete with. And so he uses Jesus Christ as an example. The example. And yes, Jesus then was the example for the early churches. Know how we need this now. The example of totally laying down your life. And yes, let me reiterate it again, pastors and leaders, you will be made to stand all alone for a time. See, the Lord knows that if he gets us, he will get our gifts and our services. Has he really got you? It's the same way when someone comes to work for a plant down there where they have the, where you work around, they make these spray tips. Graco, it's a great company. Graco company. That company knows if it gets you with all of the provisions, the dental and the eye care and the insurance and the retirement and all the rewards, and a job and the hope of going higher, the rewards of a higher placement, and that you put your life into that job, They got you. They can tell you, Ron, I want to shift you over here. I want to shift. Now you've got your time in there. Now you're building up retirement. Where do you go? You get mad and quit? Pastors, where do you go? Christians, do you really believe? Can you put it right alongside of Graco Company? I'm not putting Graco down, but we can use them as a type of example. But let's go to Jesus now. Isn't that a wonderful example of how we should excel in the kingdom of God? We're working for the kingdom of God, or don't we really believe in God? Don't we believe in Jesus Christ for salvation or anything? Do we really believe that we're working in the kingdom of God? Well, then we have to lay down our life, just like we do for our job. Won't people sweat? Oh, what would happen if I lose my job? There's no jobs out there. Praise God for Jesus Christ. You'd have to think about losing your salvation. And some people preach that. You can lose it every other week. Yeah. They believe more in the salvation in a job than they do in the salvation of Jesus Christ. Well, I got seniority. I got benefits. You got benefits in the kingdom of God that no one can take away from you. You got peace of mind. It's one thing that I appreciate in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It is peace of mind. Peace of mind. I didn't say a piece of a mind. I said peace of mind. Peace of mind. Because, see, he went through the whole thing, and then you. And then we can argue and we can get into this. Well, you don't know the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Whoa. Now, if Jesus really gets us, he gets our services and he gets our gifts. Now, there's a few scriptures to go along with what I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about a give-a-thon. Aren't they sickening? Give-a-thons. They get on the horn and they talk on. Oh, and there's another phone ringing over there, you know, and they mix the giving with healing someone of cancer, and they mix all, it's all mixed together. I'm not talking about a give-a-thon for some kind of a new pipe organ dream. $40,000 worth. And we don't put the big thermometer up there. Well, the pipe organ is not a pipe dream. A little pun here, play on words, folks. And the old thermometer is up there to 37,500. Let's hear it for the pipe organ. Pipe up. Another pun. I say to hell with a pipe organ, don't you? Take all those things and put them down there. I mean, the music is made for hell a lot of times. It sounds like it, too. Too strong for you? That's the truth. I'll get cards and letters off of that. Oh, go ahead and send them. I don't care. So I think about pipe organs when people are starving. They're all burning hell. How many are hearing this? Well, doesn't it say? Look here. 2 Corinthians 8:2. That in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. They were laying down poor and they gave, and they just felt great about it. Going on. For I testify. Now he testifies about something he knows. So many people are talking about things they do not know a single solitary thing about. Well, I got grafts. Take those grafts and burn them. Have you actually physically, realistically been involved? For I testify, and this is 2 Corinthians 8:3 going down. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord. Nobody had to say, pull out a gun and say, you want to give? Yeah, you. You're looking right down this barrel. Do you want to give? One woman came in here, and she wasn't of the same persuasion we are, and she came in, and everybody had their arms up praising the Lord. She left. She came back the next day. She says, I thought there was a stick-up in the church. I didn't come in. That's why I didn't come in. Well, that's about what you have to do, I said, to get money out of folks. Said, you hit it right there. Let's go on here then, 2 Corinthians 8 and 12. For if the readiness is present, are you ready? It is acceptable according to what a man has, not according to what he does not have. Are you ready to give what you do have? Nobody asked you to give what you don't have. I'm not asking you to sign faith checks for new Lincolns. You don't have money in the bank. For this is not for the ease of others and for your own affliction, your affliction, but by the way of equality. I mean, just give so that everybody's kind of equal. I'm not talking about communism either. At this present time, your abundance being a supply for their want, that their abundance also may become a supply for your want. Well, I mean, it'll come back to you. And again, he says that there may be equality. And then 2 Corinthians 9 and 6 says like this, now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. And you know what? This scriptures here that I'm giving are irritating people, and you know why? Because funds are misused all of the time. Well, I mean, they're used not illegally, but they're not used for people. Let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, one time I had a message and it says to give hilariously. Means you pull money out and say, well, we'll see. That was a good one, you know. The guy gave his house. Then the wife taps the guy on his shoulder and she whispers something in his ear. Give the house with the two cars and everything in it. And they laughed. Well, we're going to give a house and a double car garage and we got two cars in it. They were hilarious. And then someone else tried laughing and said, oh, and ended up one of the guys owns the IDS building, see? Hilariously! It went crazy. Try it sometimes. Do you know the best gift you can give? When they come around with that little sack, just get up on top of your chair. Step right into it. Billfold, bring all your deeds and your wills and everything and jump right in the bag. Here I am, take whatever you want. Divide up the spoils. Why not? Wouldn't that be hilarious? Some cases the joke would be on them because the folks don't have anything. Why not? Give it all. Isn't there a song like that? All of me. Why not take all of me? Take my arms, I want to lose them. And it goes on, my ears, my eyes, my mouth, my legs, my feet. Please don't abuse them. Huh?
There you have it. That was part one, poverty. Be sure to listen to part two and the conclusion on Sunday. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
Elgato Mo. Elgato Mo. Elgato Mo. Elgato Mo. Oh, when the Lord. Get ready, you got to move.